Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Now back to Ringside with the voice of small business and the champion of the entrepreneur.
Say it now, gentlemen. Undisputed heavyweight champion of the world.
The Small Business Advocate, Jim Blasingame.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging around with me. It's my pleasure to be part of your day. It's also my pleasure to be tell you that Dr. Rosalind Glickman is in the building. And as I said before we came on the air, be sure to buckle your seatbelts because it will be a fun ride when we have our visit with our good friend Rosalind Glickman. She's she's the author of a book called Optimal Thinking, which is transforming the way people think in the marketplace all over the world. And she's our good friend, Dr. Rosalind Glickman. Welcome back to the show.
Oh, it's a wonderful pleasure to be back here.
It's good to have you back on the show. And we sure had a good time visiting with you when we were in California a month or so ago.
You didn't stay long enough, Jim.
I know it.
Next time you got to stay longer.
Next time we will, I'm sure. But we had a good time. It was a great visit. And it was good to see you again. Rosalind, what's new in the world of optimal thinking?
Well, you know, optimal thinking is a superlative, universal, timeless mental software. And it's the mental software we use when our best self takes charge and we're giving life our best shot, our business our best shot, our family our best shot. And I guess what's new with optimal thinking is how you use it each day. And how you use this mental software to be your best to proactively start your day. Do you start your day with your best self in charge, or do you start your day feeling cranky, tired, and your thinking is impacted by that? And so I guess what's new is how you use it in the very given moment, right now. That's how optimal thinking becomes new.
Well, and how do we do that if we're grumpy?
Well,
I myself am never grumpy, Rosalind. I don't need this myself. But for other people, for mere mortals,
most people are never grumpy.
For the mere mortals, how do they deal with that?
Right, mere mortals, we get grumpy, we get tired, we have the range of human emotions, and by using optimal thinking, we can say, well, what's the best thing I can do under the circumstances? How can I make the most of this situation? What's the best solution to this issue? Or what am I thinking or doing to create this feeling? And what's the best thing I can do about it? These kind of questions are examples of optimal thinking, and they lead us to the best solutions. And what my company does here in Beverly Hills, California, is we show people how to think optimally consistently, how to think optimally proactively, and how to bounce back when we react to stimuli that don't please us or that are difficult or threatening, how to bounce back to our best track with minimum time loss.
Well,
and
exactly.
That's the name of living the game of life most effectively, most enjoyably, most profitably.
Well, and you, one of the things that you touched on that I wanted to land on a little bit is that when people understand your concept of optimal thinking, it's sort of preloaded. You called it software. I like that term. It's sort of preloaded in your random access memory. So that whenever you need to fire it, you know, into action, it's ready to go.
Absolutely. The thing is that we're all optimal thinkers. Everyone listening right now is an optimal thinker. You've all been in a tough business situation and said, how can I make the most of this? The problem is that we don't use it all the time. We are human and we get off track. And so if we can learn how to program ourselves to use it as frequently as possible, then we can master situations more quickly and be on that best track as often as possible.
Well, and exactly. And what I'd like to do, I know we're going to, in a little bit, we're going to a break, but when we come back, I want you to talk to us about about our employees, because when the people around us are not thinking optimally, you know, maybe we even have a couple of employees who are grumpy from time to time,
and they're not on the optimal page.
Right.
They're not thinking optimally, but we can ask them optimal thinking questions to inspire them to get back on their best track.
Well, I can see where if you become an optimal thinker as the business owner, but you haven't invested the time and the energy to help your employees become really to understand this concept of optimal thinking, I can see where there'd be a performance disparity, and that's not good for the business. And when we come back after these messages, Rosalyn, I want you to help us understand how to get our employees to becoming optimal thinkers. And we're going to do that right after these messages. It's 20 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Dr. Rosalyn Glickman is our guest. She's the author of Optimal Thinking. We're back at 17 till. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for staying with me. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. Dr. Rosalyn Glickman is our guest. Rosalyn is an old friend of ours, a longtime member of our Brain Trust, the author of Optimal Thinking. Rosalyn, give us your website, please.
It's optimalthinking.com, optimalthinking.com.
Can we still take that test, that optimal thinking test, on your website there?
Yes, you can rate your level of thinking. It's on the home page on the right-hand side. You can go in and check your level of thinking, and you can actually send your employees there as well, and mm-hmm. you can check their level of thinking. And what we do for companies is we actually rate the level of thinking anonymously and check the various departments, because sometimes a specific department will show up that you'll see that the level of thinking really needs attention. And so we're able to ascertain which areas of a company are most vulnerable.
It's amazing how companies have cultures, but departments can actually have cultures, can't they?
Oh, for sure.
And the cultures can be negative, can't they?
Sure. And even if they're not even negative, if you've got one employee who's an extraordinarily positive thinker, who thinks above the ordinary, who's looking for outstanding results, and you've got a mediocre positive thinker who's just looking for good results, the disparity between the two of them can be just as difficult as the disparity between a positive and a negative thinker.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where optimal thinking comes in. When we go into a small business or any company and train all the people to be optimal thinkers, then everyone is on the same page. When one person gets off track, then another asks an optimal question to help them get back on their best track. And so people are empowering others to be on that optimal track together. And proactively as using this peak form of thinking.
Reason I encourage people to heed your advice and to follow up on this and to avail themselves of your book and your program, Rosalyn, is because in the 21st century, it is the 21st century is the century of the entrepreneur. What that means to me is not that it's just the century of owners. It means that it's the century of entrepreneurial employees too. And the reason is, Rosalyn, as you know, is that all small business owners have too many hats to wear and not enough heads to put them on.
Yes.
And that means that we've all got to do multiple jobs. We've got to be cross-trained, and we got to perform optimally in order for us to make sure that we stay profitable and we stay in business and we keep our business, because we all know it's more fun to work for a small business than it is any other kind of a business. But the only way to really do that, to make sure all of your employees are entrepreneurial thinkers, is for them to be optimal thinkers.
Right. And the thing is that the old parrot, old positive thinking is good and negative thinking is bad paradigm really hasn't worked, because people, when we suppress negativity with positive thinking, what happens is that our employees function with layers of unresolved problems, and if we won't hear their problems, what happens is that we build a wall between them and it doesn't work.
Right.
Colin Powell said, if you don't listen to the complaints of a soldier, he won't fight for you.
Right.
And so this idea of just allowing, just condemning negativity really compromises productivity. So optimal thinkers, we embrace negativity and we ask the best questions to resolve it. And in that way, we can also clean up problems and flaws in our products. If we don't recognize negativity, we can't resolve it.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to get the healthiest picture of negativity. We need to see it as feedback instead of be threatened by it.
Well,
we
need to welcome it as a gift.
Well,
we do that with our customers. I mean, when our customers complain, we actually should look at that as a gift. They've done us a big favor by actually caring enough about us to come back and say, you know, this is not right. What are you going to do about it? Otherwise, they could just go somewhere else.
Right.
And what you're saying is we need to do the same thing with our employees.
With our employees. And the other thing with small business owners and with our employees is that we need to have our priorities right, and that is about optimization, because we can choose any action. We can get up and say, well, or we can start the day and say, well, let me do this, just because it's on our table, on our desk. But that is, if that's not supremely important, we're compromising our productivity and the profitability of the business. And so we always have to keep our highest priority on the table right now. And we've got to be doing that right now. And that's about optimal thinking. What's supremely important and what's the best action I can take to achieve it? Who's the best person to speak with about this? Who's the right customer? What's troubling him? What's the best thing I can do about it? Right. That kind of thinking will lead to optimal productivity. And when everyone in the organization is trained to do that, then you have critical mass of everyone thinking optimally, and you have explosive growth.
Rosalind, hold on to that thought. Folks, Rosalind has mentioned negative thinking, positive thinking, and optimal thinking. Obviously, we want to get everybody to the optimal level. But my question when we come back to Rosalind, can we go straight from negative to optimal, or do we have to pass through positive? I'm going to get her to help us with that. When we come back after these messages, it's 10 Till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Here's Joe Cocker to take us out. We're back with 7-2. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. And let me remind you, coming up in the show straight ahead, we've got Jeffrey Zabar, who's one of our home-based business and teleworking experts. Also, Tony Paradiso, who's one of our human resources experts. And Joan Pride, senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors, will be back with us. That's coming up in the show straight ahead. Rosalind Glickman is still our guest. She's still with us. She's still our good friend, thank goodness. We couldn't do without her. Dr. Rosalind Glickman, the author of Optimal Thinking. The website is optimalthinking.com, right, Rosalind?
That's right.
Now, I posed the question before we went to the break. You mentioned negative thinking, positive thinking, and your optimal thinking is in another universe above positive thinking. It's a lot better state of mind to be in. But my question is, if we've got somebody who's a negative thinker, a negative Nelly, as they used to say, can we go straight to optimal thinking, or do we have to pass through positive thinking?
No, we can instantly go to optimal thinking.
Completely avoid positive thinking.
Yes, we can just go immediately to the highest and best, the realm of the highest and best, by asking the best questions. I mean, just one simple question of what's the best thing you can do under the circumstances will invite the best solution. If you ask a mediocre question like, well, what's a good option, you'll get a good answer. Mm-hmm. But if you ask the best questions, you invite the best answers. And that's why optimal thinking is provides what's called a constant optimization or never-ending optimization instead of just improvement. And that's interesting because let's say the old idea was let's just improve a bit, let's improve a bit. But if you improve, you don't necessarily complete the situation because you're left with what I could have, would have, should have. But once you ask the best question, what's the best solution to this problem? You've got a billing problem, you've got a customer problem, you've got a delegation problem, you've got a whatever problem. You can simply ask, well, what are our options and which one's best? And then you can put it to rest. But if you just take an option and you improve, you just do something positive, you may not have chosen the best option.
One of the things that happens in these meetings when you're trying to solve these problems is sometimes people come up with the option that they know is achievable, that they're certain is achievable, and that's what they tell you because they want to be successful. They don't want to risk something maybe that might get them into trouble they might not be successful with. But if they bring you that option, then, you know, if you say, well, is this the optimal option?
Absolutely.
And then they say, well, no, there's a better one, but we've never done that before. Then that's when you need to ask the question, well, what would we have to do that?
Correct. Is this the best thing we can do considering our resources?
Right.
Right. Optimal thinking is about getting the maximum return with the minimal amount of risk. That's optimal thinking. And so we want to ask that question. And sometimes you have higher risk, optimal return. You want to ask, what's your best risk-reward ratio? And that's how you use optimal thinking best. And that's what we do. We train small business owners and employees to think like that so that they can optimize productivity and profitability. And everyone can do it. We're all optimal thinkers. It's not foreign. It's not something we resist because we all do it. It's just that we haven't been trained to do it consistently. We do it sporadically because we didn't even know that there was such a thing as optimal thinking. We didn't know that this was a specific form of thinking.
But optimal thinking, doesn't it also take us a little bit out of our comfort zone?
Well, I think it takes us into our comfort zone because when we know we're doing our best, then we can be fully satisfied.
When you're being your best, there's a little bit of risk involved. And when you're trying to be your best, what I'm trying to say is I don't think that's a bad thing. I think that's a good thing.
Right. I hear what you're saying. You're saying it in another context of when you're doing your best, you push to new horizons. Mm-hmm. And I think that can, in fact, that can open you up to some sort of different experience. That's true. Mm-hmm. And you might have to deal with the anxiety of the unknown. But the other point is that when you know you've done your best, you can put it to rest. You say, right. I did it all. I've got no guilt. I didn't just sit on my laurels and hope for things to happen or just give it a partial part of myself.
Dr. Rosalene Glickman, ladies and gentlemen. That's the last word, Dr. Rosalene. Thank you very much for being here. The book is called Optimal Thinking. The website is with .com on the end of that. Thank you, Rosalene. We'll see you next time.
Love to be here.
Have a great holiday. Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you. I'll see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.